Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm really happy to have you here today. On our show today, I have two designers who are going to come on and tell us a little bit about their work. And then the second half of the show, I have a new editor segment with tips and tricks about how to fit more time in, what's going on at the APQ site, and the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. So let's start off with a new friend of mine, Emily Herrick, who is the designer behind the Crazy Old Ladies Quilt Studio, or that's her company name. We're going to find out why, but she also designs fabric, and she's a new book author, and I just think this is going to be really fun to get to know Emily, because I have to tell you, I've seen Emily, and she is not old, so we need to figure out this name thing from her. So hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, this is really fun. Your name is really fun. I think it gets everybody sort of going, what? Look at that name. What is she talking about? So come on, you know, you're not old. So what's with the name?
All right. So probably, I mean, I've always been, you know, sewing and crafting and that sort of thing. But I got serious about 7 years ago, and it was one of those days that I just dove right in, and my husband came home from work, and I had moved my boys around their room so that I could have my own craft room, and I didn't even get up from the machine. I just sat there sewing, and he came home from work, and he said, oh my gosh, what happened? You are turning into one of those crazy old ladies that just sits and sews all the time. So cut to a couple years ago when I decided to start my pattern company, mm-hmm. and I thought, I'm going to be a crazy old lady, so what better name than to have that one? So
I bet people ask you this a lot, don't they?
All the time. Yeah. But I never get tired of telling them about it.
Yeah, because I would like to tell people that unless you're, you know, like a teenager, Emily's not old. So, and that's great. We like to have, you know, all kinds of people, even people who, you know, are crazy in quilting. It's a good thing.
Right. I was going to say, people always question the old, but they don't often question the crazy. So that always makes me laugh.
Yeah. Now, when I first saw your work, it had to do with your booth at Market where you were debuting your first fabric line with Michael Miller. And your booth was just fabulous, Emily. I think that's what it's like, just stopped me in my tracks. It's like, wow, I want to make everything in that booth, and I want all that fabric, and just give it to me now. Do you have
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great. You have a very good style. Do you have a background in art or in design?
You know, I don't have any formal school training. I took a little class here and a little class there, mm-hmm. But I've always been an artistic doodler. I've just mm-hmm. always, you know, drawing on everything I could get my hands on. So that's kind of where my background came from, as far as you know, the design goes with Going mm-hmm. Coastal.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Going Coastal is an awesome line. I mean, I love all things beachy, so, you know, that's, you know, it's right up my alley. But the crabs and, you know, the bottle caps are fun and they're quirky. You know, what made you decide to try to design a line of fabric?
Well, I grew up in California, in Northern California, but we didn't live, like, right on the coast. Mm-hmm. But I've just always been drawn to the coast and the ocean and the beach and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And when I started drawing my designs for Going Coastal, it was kind of just one of those things. I wanted to find fabric with a crab on it. And I kept searching and searching the internet. And, I mean, I found several prints, but nothing that had that look that I was going for. Mm-hmm. And so I just started drawing. And all of a sudden, I had this crab. And then I thought, oh, it would be cute to have this bottle cap print. And it kind of just evolved that way. And pretty soon, I had 5 or 6 prints. And I thought, I love this crab so much. I need to see what I can do with this. So. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so then I kind of just put it together in a portfolio, and mm-hmm. the rest is history.
Wow, this like a Cinderella story.
Well, okay, I guess you could call it that.
So when you were designing this, you know, since it was your first line, I mean, did you have something you had to overcome with the process? I mean, was there some sort of spot where you went like, oh my gosh, this isn't going to happen, or, you know, I need to figure out how to do something? You know, did you hit one of those places?
Well, there was a couple of different things. When I designed that collection, most of it was drawn on pencil and paper and shaded mm-hmm. with colored pencils. And then I had to, you know, scan it and take it into the computer and mm-hmm. use a program that I had nothing, I knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. There was definitely some days in there where I wasn't sure if I was going to throw my computer out the window or if I was going to throw myself out of the window. So that was kind of difficult. The other part was, you know, actually showing my designs and mm-hmm. and being able to take the from different mm-hmm. companies, which is okay, and we all have to face that. But I think because it was art that, you know, was from my soul, so to speak,
right.
it's hard to take that, you know, that criticism when it's something so personal.
Yeah, that is always for anybody new to designing anything. You have to, you know, you have to be able to just keep at it with till you find the right partnership, because it doesn't mean it's a bad design. It just means it's not the right partnership or not the right time or something.
Absolutely.
So you can't give up, can you?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled, absolutely thrilled to be partnered with Michael Miller. They are a wonderful company, and I have to pinch myself all the time that I get to be, you know, part of their team. So.
And you have you've had several lines now. So do you have a new one coming out this year?
I do have a new one coming out. I am so mm-hmm. excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Shore Thing, and mm-hmm. it's kind of a follow-up to Going Coastal. It has some of those beachy coastal elements, but a little mm-hmm. bit, you know, different from Going Coastal, but some of the things are still the same. I'm hoping that they, that it's, you know, that people are as excited about Shore Thing as they were with Going Coastal, and I think they're going to be. It's
cool.
Really going to be fun.
Well, it's got the word shore in it. I'm definitely going to be there. I'm going to see it. So
wonderful.
So when you're designing quilts now to showcase, we'll talk about first quilts to showcase your fabric. Do you sort of wait till you have the fabric done, or do you sort of have designs that you're just waiting to put fabric into? How does that process work for you?
You know, it really goes hand in hand. Being that I was a quilter first, before I started designing fabric, when I'm designing the fabrics, I definitely have quilt application in mind as mm-hmm. far as, you know, colors and scale and that sort of thing. Quilt patterns that I've designed to go along with my collections, I definitely keep the collection in mind. I want, for Going Coastal, I wanted, you know, quilt patterns that had that kind of coastal feel to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the designs kind of reflected the fabric, but some of the designs I had in my head as I was designing, you know, and vice versa. So it kind of just goes hand in hand. In between, you know, after Going Coastal, I had a collection called Hall of Fame that's in shops right now, and it's kind of a more masculine sports-oriented prints. And so when I was designing the quilts for that collection, I definitely wanted, you know, things that went hand in hand. So I have a pennant pattern, and I have another one that has kind of sports numbers, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want them to carry that whole feeling together.
I think that works really well for showing off the fabric, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of boys, you have your new book called Geared for Guys. I mean, you can never find enough quilts that are sort of guy quilts, can you?
No, not at all. And that's exactly what steered me to do this book. I grew up with five brothers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and I have two sons, and, you know, I mean, really, there's guys all over the place, and I've worked in several quilt shops over the years, and the one thing that you always hear is people come in, oh, I can never find anything for guys, mm-hmm. and so my idea for this book was to take just some really cool quilt designs and Pair them with fabrics that you will find anywhere, not necessarily a whole collection that's, you know, designed specifically for men, but in the book I have 8 different quilt patterns, and then I also have different little tips and technique pages where I talk about, you know, choosing colors and choosing fabrics and finding what's available in your store and kind of thinking out of the box and looking at things in a different way so that they could work for the guys in our lives.
Ah, that's a really neat addition for the book then. You know, how you might use something you weren't expecting. Like, can you give us one little snippet, one little idea?
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of floral collections out there, and
yes,
we see a lot of cutesy things. And often when you go into your quilt shop, you know, they'll have a section that's, you know, the new release or, you know, what's hot right now. And unless there's a specific collection that's geared, you know, aimed towards men, we might think, oh, we're just going to bypass this area because we're looking for something to make for our husband, and there's not going to be anything in this new what's hot area.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I've noticed just because a collection has pink florals in it doesn't mean that there's not fabrics in that collection that might work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've looked at the coordinating prints and that sort of thing. I found in this book I've used prints from Bonnie and Camille for Moda fabrics. I've used some prints of theirs. I've used some from Three Sisters. Different prints that I've pulled in, and unless you're looking specifically like, oh, wait, okay, I see that one, you wouldn't even notice. And those guys aren't going to look and say, oh, wait, wasn't this a girly collection? You know.
Right.
So
they won't know.
right. And I'm really thrilled. I think I've gotten some good feedback on the book so far, and I'm really thinking positive about it. I think it's going to be great.
It's exciting. We have about like 15 seconds. You're going to be teaching somewhere fun. Tell us where that is.
Absolutely. This summer I get to travel up to Beaver Lodge, Alberta, to Around the Block Quilt Shop. And I'm going to be doing a retreat up there for a few days, and I'm so excited. I met these folks my very first market, and they've just kind of been good fans of mine throughout my journey, so I'm super thrilled to be going up there.
Well, Emily, this has been wonderful to have you on here and give us some insight into how you work, and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back.
Do you have a recent project to share? Post a photo of your latest quilt project in our show and tell section at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, hello, Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns, all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Need a project you can start and finish in an evening, a weekend, or a couple of weeks? Pick up a copy of All Small, on sale now, featuring projects created with Moda Fabrics. We've assembled a collection of projects that are little in size, but big on style. Find All Small at your local quilt shop or newsstand today.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craftgiveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and now I have got on a fabulous designer who contributes often to American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More. She makes the most wonderful quilts. Sherry Falls of This and That Pattern Company. Sherry, I'm so excited to have you back on the show. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for asking me. I really appreciate it.
You know, you are just like so creative with fabric. Do you know that?
Oh, thank you.
You have the coolest way of putting everything together, and it just looks so doable when I see your projects.
Oh, good. Well, that's kind of what I'm going for, is things that people can get done in their busy life.
I know, you know, people just don't, you know, because we're in the business, we, even though we don't feel like we quilt a lot, we actually do quilt more sometimes than the average person does.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's sometimes hard to think, isn't it, about a project, and you go, well, can the average person get this done, you know?
Yeah, well, I always figure if I can get it done with all the chaos I always seem to have going on, I figure, well, hopefully people can get them done too, because life just gets busy.
Well, you have a project coming out in Quilts and More, which, let me see if I, it's coming out on the newsstands now. I forget what's a summer issue, I think.
Yeah, summer 2012.
So it's called the Classic Carry-On, and I thought, Classic Carry-All. So it's a big tote bag. But I thought we could talk a little bit about some of the techniques that you used in here, because you've got a nice variety of things. Now, what were you thinking about when you sort of worked up this tote? It's really springy, reds and grays and creams.
I know, isn't it fun? And I love the plaids. I love plaids.
Yeah,
so I had to
throw
a plaid.
Yeah.
You know, when I make bags or any of my patterns, usually it's because there's something that I need a bag for. I got this one to be able to run the kids to the library and go out on the boat and that kind of thing. So I was looking for a bag that's good size, but not huge, but not small that, you know, you throw your iPod in it. I need something bigger than that.
Right. You don't want to lose the child, but you need to put more than the camera in there. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And so it's got nice pockets, too, for your iPod, if you want.
Right. There you go. Now, do you have a wide bottom on this one?
I think it is like a 4.5-inch wide bottom.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can take a stack of magazines to the beach or whatever, throw your water bottle and sunscreen, everything in it. It'll all fit, which is nice. And I love the flat bottoms in them.
I do, too. Do you put anything in yours bottoms? Like, some people will put a piece of, you know, stiffener, like special, like extra, into the base, maybe of acrylic or wrapped wood or, you know, something like that.
You know, sometimes I do. A new bag that I've got coming out from Market has an extra layer of the that Bonzel Craftex. So it's got a heavier bottom.
Yeah,
so it's stiffer. This one I didn't, just because, you know, it was a summer tote. I needed to be able to be shoved in the car. So it's kind of one of those where it needs to flatten down, or if I need to, you know, stick it in the glove
roll
box
it up.
To take
yeah,
it grocery
it up and
shopping
throw it
or
in
something.
Another bag. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't always do that. So I think that there's like a purpose for all of it. I mean, this one doesn't, but if you want it stiff, you can easily, before you put in the lining, you know, cut the bottom. I would say it's probably, don't quote me on it, it's probably like 4.5 by 12.5 or something like that. But, you know, and add it to it to have a stable bottom. But I didn't on this one, just because I've also used these for grocery shopping. So
yeah,
and you
so
look cute and fashionable.
Tell me about the grommets, because, you know, they're showing up a lot. They're very functional, and they're also darn cute on the finished bag. But what, you know, I think I've tried them once, and I'm not sure I did the best job. So what tips do you have?
You know, they're actually easy to use. I'm never scared to try something because worst case scenario, I have to remake the item.
Yeah.
But I love grommets because to me, they kind of take the bag from homemade to more of a handmade bag. It's a different look to it. When I do the grommets, it'll tell you, you know, you measure down, you know, you find your center and measure down like 2 inches or whatever. And on the package, you know, they give you a template and everything. I'll be honest, I don't use the template. I take the actual grommet and I put it on there and I take a pen and I make my circle and then I cut it to that size so it's, it doesn't cut out as much fabric as when you use the template they include. And it kind of keeps things a lot more stable. And it, because I've had, when I use the template, I've had the grommet pop off the bag and that's
ugly. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. Particularly those giant ones that some people were using for a while. They had trouble with them not, you know, they cut away too much fabric, I guess. Would that have been the problem?
Yeah, and that's why I use the grommet itself, not the template that they include. So, and I actually will draw the line and I'll cut inside the line and force the grommet through. And if it's, I mean, if it doesn't go, I cut out a little more fabric, but I do it really slow so that it keeps that hole as tight as possible. And then you just hammer it together, you know, put the backing on it and put it on something hard, a hard surface, not your wood floor or anything, you know. I have a cement floor that I use. It will leave a mark.
Go out to the driveway.
Exactly. Go outside or my girlfriend carries around a block to retreat that she lets us use when we use the grommet. So something like that works well. Yeah, not your kitchen counter. Yeah.
So do you buy a set? I mean, we have directions that come with the pattern and it shows you the unit, but are they common? You can get them at the craft store and.
Yeah. Yep. I just got mine at the local little catch-all store here in town that has everything from bird seed to some kitchen stuff to candy to sewing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can pretty much find them anywhere. Most quilt shops are carrying them, too. I mean, I would check your local quilt shop first because they usually carry them and they can get you, you know, the good name brands that are going to hold up.
Right, and I think because they're showing up on so many bags now that... Now, you love bags. You and I have talked about this before because we both like, you know, you actually make more bags than me, but I covet them just as much.
Yeah, I have a bag problem. I do. I admit it.
So tell me first, let's talk about fabric selection. And, you know, do you have like disaster combos that you've, you know, you went to make a bag and you're like partially through going, oh my gosh, this is really going to not do it. You know, how do you avoid that kind of thing?
You know, I have had a few of those and they're really embarrassing. So I'm not even sure where they ended up. but usually I start out with like a main print. Like a big focus fabric. And then I decide, like on this one, I knew I wanted to use the plaid. It's that Three Sisters fabric from Moda. And I knew I loved the plaid. When they came out with that, I'm like, oh, yeah. And then they have the beautiful gray, which makes it a little more elegant to go with it. And then from there, I just picked things. I like smaller prints. I think that bigger prints are great, but then I would get smaller prints to kind of calm it down so you see the big prints, they're not fighting each other.
Right, right.
So I usually start with a focus one, the main one that I want to really stand out and just kind of add from there.
It is sort of fun too. I mean, I've done this before when I didn't really want to cut things because maybe I didn't have a lot of fabric, is sort of mock it up on the table.
Yep, exactly. Yep, and I've drawn out things on paper, like the shape of the bag, and I'll take colored crayons and kind of start coloring it in so that, you know, if you only have limited amount, you don't want to mess up and use it. So use it wrong. So I draw things in and double check it that way. And I also use, I call it a peeper, and that doesn't sound good, but it's one of those, I know, it's so bad, but it's a door peeper, you know, like you can see people.
Yeah, it's a reducing glass.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That sounds better. I call it a peeper, but I lay out all my fabrics and I use that. It's kind of like squinting at the Christmas tree to see, you know, if things all seem like they're going to blend and lay right, you know, compared to, whoa, what was with that one over there or whatever, so.
Your camera is good, too. Sometimes you can take a picture with your camera because then it gives you a different viewpoint of it when you look at the picture.
Yeah, exactly. Same kind of thing.
Do you also use zippers a lot? Or I know you have a few pouches with zippers.
Mm-hmm. I do. I don't mind them.
You don't mind them?
Okay, zippers used to freak me out, and yeah. like I used to make clothes for my girls when they were little, and they liked mom's clothes, but I would literally take it over to my mom's and go, Mom, please put in the zipper, and she had enough of that one day and went, no, you need to just learn to do it yourself. I'm like, really? I'm not that old to learn it myself just because I have kids. So I jumped in, and I, you know, got over my fear of zippers, and they're not bad. Most all the patterns out there, not even just mine, but the other designers too, they give you good instructions for zippers, and you know, worst case scenario, you have to throw out a zipper and start over, and they're not even $2, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's worth a try.
So everybody should just get over that. And
yeah, don't be scared of zippers because they make it so much more fun to have a nice closure across the top of your bag.
I like that because I'm always afraid something's going to fall out, something important, when I put down a bag, you know? I sort of like the tops to close.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I really like zippers these days compared to a few years ago, but they've gotten easier to use, too. And, you know, I would have to say I do stick with the plastic zippers. Mm-hmm. You know, Terry Atkinson has out that whole group, and they're easy to sew through. They're easy to cut. Mm-hmm. Zippers have come a long way themselves compared to, you know.
Right. Yeah, they're a lot easier work with than they used to be. So tell me about your Mystery Monday at your blog. We have a little bit of time.
Okay. Mystery Monday is I have designed different patterns, and every Monday you get a little piece of it. So you start out with collecting your fabric so you kind of know, you know, the size of what the project is and what to expect. Mm-hmm. And then each Monday you can log on or, you know, go to the blog and get your next section of the pattern. And it, usually the sewing is between 5 and 15 minutes of sewing. My idea
That's
was...
not much?
No, and it's not. Most people can find that in a week. Mm-hmm. And I know some people it's really hard, so I figure if I keep it slow and keep the increment small, people are going to find some time to themselves. And, you know, after a month or two or however long it takes us, they've got a nice wall hanging or candle mat. Or we just did a wall hanging. I've done a table runner and a candle mat so far. So they're small projects. They're easy things that people can do.
Oh, wonderful. Sherry, this has been so great to have you on. I want to give your blog and your website again.
Okay. The blog is www.thisandthatpatterns.typepad.com and then the website is www.thisandthatpatterns.com.
Well, Sherry Falls, thank you for coming on and talking all about bags with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Yep. Well, I'm going to see you again soon.
Yes, I will see you at market.
Okay.
Thanks, this Pat.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from the editors at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. So be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anila Hoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
We're we're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Time to sew. Who doesn't want more time to sew? I think it's something that our readers are always asking more of when we ask them what they'd like to see. In addition to more issues, they'd like more time to sew. So today, editor Jody Sanders and I are going to be talking about ways to make time to do what we all love. We're all passionate quilters just like you, and we're always trying to figure out how to fit more hours in the day because we're doing our jobs as well. But when we go home, we want more time to sew. So let's start right in. Jody, share with our readers some of the things that you have done to fit more sewing time into your day.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do was get a handle on all of the block of the month and quilt of the month projects that have been building up in the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm continuing to be involved in those kind of clubs and block of the month projects. But I seem to be a collector instead of an actual maker. So I decided I wanted to actually get some of these projects made or get on track again. So what I decided to do was to try and get up earlier, maybe 30-45 minutes each day, and then I would just spend that time sewing. And it's amazing in a month's time what you can get accomplished by just 30 or 45 minutes a day. And in fact, when I first started this, I was really good about doing it probably 4 or 5 days during the week, and I ended up being able to make 3 mini quilts in that first month. So I felt like I was actually getting on track, and I just felt better about being involved in those projects and continuing to be involved in those clubs.
That's awesome. I am not an early bird in the least, so the thought of getting up 30 minutes early, I applaud you. I think it's awesome, but I'd rather stay up, I think, 30 or 45 minutes, and I'd have to do my sewing at night. That's my best time. Another tip I think that we can share with folks is, for me, I find it easier to fit more time into my day if I have somebody who holds me accountable. So I have a good quilting buddy this year, and we have launched a challenge with each other. It's the buddy system, and we're working on a quilt that is actually a pattern called Lily Pilly by Don't Look Now. And if you look that up, it's a big tree, and the original quilt is all fused leaves. And in my mind, I thought there were about 50 leaves. So when I asked my friend Jan if she wanted to do this challenge with me, I said, how about if we just make this our project for the year, and we'll make this a 52-week project and probably just have to do like a leaf a week. Well, it turns out there's 150 leaves on there, and that doesn't count the time it takes to put the trunk on. But instead of fusing it, we decided to do it out of wool and sort of do a lot of embellishments and beading and fun like that. And so our goal is 3 leaves a week. And by breaking down what seems like a really big project to 3 leaves a week, who can't fit 3 leaves a week into their process? So that's my project for the year, and it's been going pretty well so far.
Yeah, and I think it's wonderful that you're able to have a friend to do that along, because maybe if you're not feeling that excited about the project anymore, she's there to kind of lift you up, and you can also share ideas. Although your projects are different, I think it's also fun to see what somebody else is doing. You maybe get inspiration from what they're doing, and it might be something different from what they're, you know, what they've accomplished or what they've been doing. But it's so much fun to have a friend to do along those kinds of projects, I think.
Absolutely. So what are some other tips?
Well, one of the other things that I do in addition to getting up early to sew is, because I am trying to fit a little bit of time in each day, I try and leave some of my tools and supplies that I'm using up all the time. So in other words, I don't put everything away every time I'm using it. So I'm fortunate I have a table that I'm able to have my sewing machine and my cutting board and my rulers out. Another thing is, I also leave my ironing board up all the time. It's in my bathroom, and I just have it up all the time, whether I'm using it to iron clothes or to iron some quilt projects that I'm using. And that also helps in saving time, because I'm not putting things away and getting them out all the time.
That's all right. That's like an excuse for me to just leave everything out. Now, Jody says it's a time saver if I don't put anything away.
Well, and sometimes I need to clear things off for special meals and that kinds of thing. But for the most part, my family's pretty used to it, so they just kind of work around my...
Mine too. Now, projects on the go are a way that you can fit more quilting time. I travel quite a bit. on longer trips. You do a lot of day trips because you have boys that are involved in sports. So let's talk a little bit about projects on the go. For me, when I'm working on an applique project, I don't do a lot of applique traditionally, but it is my sort of go-to project for travel because you can take elements and pieces and parts with you and just work on those little things. Wool applique for sure, but I'll sometimes make a copy on my printer of a portion of the pattern and pin the pieces that I want to be preparing or working on to that pattern. So I don't have to take the whole project with me when I travel. I can just take little segments of it. Otherwise, there were a number of trips where I said I had the best traveled projects. I didn't actually work on them, but they went a lot of places with me. So now I'm getting better about taking the little elements of the project. And then I, again, don't feel so guilty about taking up space in my bag. I can just work on a few pieces. How about you?
Well, as you mentioned, I have a couple boys that are active in sports. And one of the things I was finding is that I was spending a lot of time in gymnasiums and on soccer fields. And I would have a lot of time in between games, particularly if they were playing in a tournament. So to help kind of make that time go a little more quickly for me, I started taking a little lunch bucket, little metal lunch tin, and I would put in it some English paper piecing patterns that I had, little paper pieces that I had, and a needle threader and some thread and a needle and some small bits of fabric. And I would just do some hand stitching, and it was wonderful because it helped me pass the time. And it was also a great conversation starter because people would come over and want to know what I was doing. And that was kind of fun too, because I could introduce some people to, you know, either maybe quilting or a conversation about, oh, my grandma used to do that kind of thing, or, you know, oh, I recognize seeing that's quilting. And it was a great way to get to know some people and also start some conversation.
I love that. And I think that's one of the first things I remember when we first met was your little lunchbox. And what I think is cool about that is you were working on some hexagons, I think, when I first learned that you did this, and you didn't really have a project in mind for them. You were just sort of making the elements or the pieces and collecting them, but you weren't specifically working on a project. It was just to keep your hands busy and give you some relaxing quilting time.
Right. And I also been known to sometimes in staff meetings also bring my little hexagons along and work on them. So it doesn't always have to be when you have long periods of time, like you're waiting in between ball games or something. It also can be when you just have short periods of time where you want to keep your hands busy. It might be in the evening when you're watching television or you're in a doctor's office or something like that. But if you always just have a little baggie or a little tin or something with you, and it doesn't take up very much space, so you could even probably just fit it in your handbag to take it along.
Right. And I know some quilters also keep it in their car. So if they're sitting there waiting for kids to get done with things, they don't waste that time either. Now, sometimes we have the luxury of a big getaway, either a weekend retreat or we get to go away for a few days with friends to quilt. And I think for me, one big way I save time when I'm at retreats, I love to go on a retreat and come back with a couple of quilt tops done. And I just, when I go to a retreat, I want to sit down and sew. And so for me, I try to save time while I'm on retreat by making sure all my cutting is done ahead of time. I think I've said before on the radio show, cutting is my least favorite thing, but I never feel bad if I do my cutting ahead of time before I go on a retreat, put all the pieces, you know, sort them into baggies or however it's best for the pattern I'm working on. But if I don't have to cut when I go to a retreat, I feel like I've won the time lottery because I'm not wasting any of my time. I'm really using it all to sit down and sew. What's another trick you use for retreats?
Well, you know, it's interesting because like you, I love going to quilting retreats. I love spending time with my friends, but oftentimes there are retreats with people that I don't get to see very often. And so I usually end up spending a lot of time visiting, maybe going to the snack table, and not as much time sewing. I'm not the main reason that I'm there. And so what I try to do is buy kits ahead of time that are all pre-cut and maybe instructions, everything. Maybe I've started it, maybe I haven't, but I'll just buy that kit in mind with taking it to a retreat, and I don't have to spend a lot of time getting things together. I can throw it in my bag. It's all ready to go, and as I'm starting and stopping to talk with friends or go get something to eat, it's all ready to go for me, so I'm not spending a lot of time thinking about, well, what measurement do I need to cut or what kind of ruler do I need now, but the kit's already all right there for me, ready to just start sewing.
That's a great idea. One of the other things I think that we don't often give ourselves credit for as quilters is sometimes, and this is true for all of us, I think, in the office, too. I mean, there are sometimes you're just overwhelmed by the thought of going home after a long day at work and having to drag out, you know, the ironing board or the machine or whatever it is that you don't have set up, or actually get down to the business of quilting. You don't want to think that hard. And so I always encourage people to spend time just sort of looking at your stuff. Most of us have a stash of fabrics, and it can be really fun, creative time to just sit and imagine the possibilities, to look through your stash of patterns, to look at all the flags you've put on those magazine pages and dream about the thing you want to make next, or kind of give some thought ahead of time to color combinations you want to put together. And I think that we can count that as quilting time, even if we're not physically cutting things apart and putting them back together. That dreaming time or imagining the possibilities in your stash and what you could do, I think that counts as quilting time, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
We've talked a little bit about squeezing it into an early morning or a late night. You also have a great project you're working on that you've talked about in the office, and I'd love for you to share that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It sort of came out of something that was a challenge for me, and now it's ended up being such a fun thing to look back on. As we mentioned earlier, I have a family of four, and typically when we're getting ready to go somewhere, I'm the first one up, getting ready in the shower, and then I'm crabby with everybody, the rest of them. Get up, come on, it's time to go, let's get the showers taking. And I was spending so much time being crappy and unhappy with people that by the time we finally got out the door, I wasn't a very happy person. So what I ended up doing was I had some 2.5-inch batik squares that I cut up and just had in a little box. And again, because I've got my sewing machine up and the iron was up, what I would do is once I would get ready, then I would go, and I've actually kind of named this quilt. I call it Stolen Moments. And it's just time where I have, maybe it's only 10 minutes, maybe it's only 15 minutes. And I sit down at my machine and I just start sewing some of those batik squares together. And because it is very scrappy, lots of colors, again, it's not something I have to plan or spend a lot of time doing. I can just sit down and start sewing some of those squares together. And before I know it, I would have, you know, some blocks, and then I would put the blocks together, and I've got about a half a quilt put together now.
I think that is awesome. I love the Stolen Moments quilt. I'm going to use that in my own quilting as well. It's a great name for a project, and I think it really speaks to what we all need to do, is we all want more time for quilting, and it's just making the time for quilting. I once listened to a speaker talk about how there are certain things in your life that you'll always make time for. In mine, you know, there's never a day when I'm not going to have a cup of coffee. I always make time for that. And I'm always going to have a shower in the morning when I get up, because that helps me wake up. So I make sure I make time for those things. I just need to do the same thing with my quilting and make sure that, you know, we make time in our day for the things that are important. And even if it is the little stolen moment, you can accomplish a lot with those little bits of time. And I think you do a great job of that. I know a lot of our readers and fans of American Patchwork and Quilting and AllPeopleQuilt.com do the same. So thanks for sharing time today, Jody, and sharing some of those tips and techniques. I hope all of you find time, find a buddy, find someone to encourage you, or just find those stolen moments to fit more quilting into your day. It makes us all happier people, and have more fun quilting. Enjoy!
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
The 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge continues through 2012, and we're taking the show on the road. Come sew with Jennifer Keltner, executive editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and other members of our editorial staff on June 22nd at AccuQuilt at their new office in Omaha, Nebraska. Stop by and make a pillowcase, make a difference.
C&T
see what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
For those of you who love American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More and Quilt Sampler Magazine, many of you write to us and tell us you want more, you wish there were more issues, and we don't have the wherewithal and the people to do that yet, but what we do have is allpeoplequilt.com, and a great place that you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and find even more quilting inspiration, and much of it is from the pages of our publications. And today, Lisa and I want to share with you some tips and tricks for making the most of allpeoplequilt.com and really understanding everything that's available on there. So Lisa, why don't you kick it off with what some of our fans' favorite things are on the site?
Some of their favorite things are color options, which in each of our magazines, we have Laura Banky. She makes a color option version, which is a simpler version of each of the quilts, and then we publish that version online.
In the magazine, you'll find a redirect or a web address, and if you're looking at a project and you see Laura's version, that smaller version usually has allpeoplequilt.com/ and then a three-digit number, and sometimes that can be confusing as to where to put that in. Can you describe that, Lisa?
Yeah, so if you'll type that into your browser bar, which is the long bar at the top of your screen, not the Google or Yahoo search bar, that will take you right to that project in the color option slideshow for that issue.
And then there's also a way there, if you see that color option, you can download a PDF to your printer so that you can print out those instructions and have them and use them next to your sewing machine. So if your computer and sewing machine aren't in the same place, it's a great way to print out a free pattern that you can have right away. I know a lot of readers will tell us that it's a quick way for them to go if they're looking for an easy project to take to a retreat, or they just want a quick and easy project to take over to sew with a friend or to go to a guild. That's what they can do. Another thing that you can find, for those of you who are fans of Quilt Sampler Magazine that features great quilt shops around the country, we also have slideshows of some of the images from Quilt Sampler Magazine, and that comes out twice a year in May and in September. But in between time, if you need your fix of looking for great quilt shops, you can go at the top, across the top bar where there are all the different categories you can choose from, there's one called Our Magazines. And if you click on Our Magazines, a little drop-down menu will appear and it'll show you the titles of all the things that we publish. And if you click on Quilt Sampler, that will lead you to a listing of the most recent shops that were featured in Quilt Sampler. You can also find other information out about the magazine issue and things like that by looking there. Lisa, what else can they find?
Another thing that's new for our site is called Tip of the Day, and that's a daily tip for that gives you ideas for sewing, cutting, organizing, applique, and storage ideas. And then also, to learn more about certain techniques, you can search our techniques category and find helpful tips for hand piecing, finishing, cutting, piecing, and applique, too.
So really, whatever kind of technique, if you're in the middle of a project and you're stumped on how to do it and your best quilting buddy isn't available, I find this often happens to me at like 2 a.m. when I need to remind myself how to miter that border or something like that. You can find that information under the Techniques tab. Lisa, how do people sign up for a Tip of the Day? Is that something that we deliver to them?
You can access that by typing in the redirect allpeoplequilt.com/tips. And each day has a new tip, and you can search by tips of the month, or you can also search by category.
Awesome. Now, some people like me, I love to think that I read every word that's ever written of every magazine I ever bought because I know the work that goes into it. But sometimes I do better if I see it. I have to see it to believe it, or I have to see it to understand it. And we can do that in the pages of the magazine, and the website is great for tutorials. But we also have another way that we sort of bring those techniques to life. And Lisa, you want to share more about that?
Okay, so if you're someone that wants to really see a technique in action, we have a bunch of videos on our site. Some of them feature specific tools, and we also demonstrate some techniques to give you some step-by-step instructions about pretty much anything you'd want to learn how to do on the site, and we're always adding to that and putting up new videos.
Inspiration is another thing that we try to offer a lot of on allpeoplequilt.com. Sometimes you get stumped with color combinations or the type of project you want to work on next, or you're in a rut. You make the same kind of thing all the time and you want to step out of that, and maybe you want to make a bag or you want to do pincushions or you're trying to do something for a specific holiday. So across the website, you'll find lots of slideshows for inspiration. And I think one of the best ways you can stay on top of that is through our e-newsletter, because those are generally specifically themed to the time of year and what's going on. So, Lisa, can you share with people how they can sign up for that e-newsletter?
Yep. So there is information on every page of our website up on the top right. There's a little section to sign up for the newsletter. You can just type in your username and password, and you can get that every Tuesday. And then also, the e-newsletter gives on-sale dates for magazines and helps you brush up on techniques throughout the year.
And best of all, it's free.
And it's free. And then you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter. We're also on Pinterest, and we have a staff blog. And to find those, to connect with us on those, you can look at the top bar on allpeoplequilt.com and look for the community section, and you can be tied into all our various networks.
So you can be tied into American Patchwork and Quilting and allpeoplequilt.com all day, every day, 365 days a year, and we hope that you will join us. The last thing that I think people might not be aware of on allpeoplequilt.com is all of the different sweepstakes and prizes. There are lots of things going on all the time. And also our Million Pillowcase Challenge, where you can help make a pillowcase and make a difference in your community. And you can find out more about all of those things on the site as well. And really, there are two easy ways to search throughout the whole site. You can either do the bar across the top that has all the different categories, or along the left-hand side, you'll find a listing of all the different sections. So if you haven't had time to experiment with the website and are interested in finding some quick projects, some inspiration, tips and techniques, or getting an e-newsletter from us, we'd love to have you join us at allpeoplequilt.com and immerse yourself in the quilting life. We do. We're quilters just like you. We have a great time sharing what we know, and we'd love to have you sharing that with us as well. So we hope you'll log on and check out allpeoplequilt.com.
Hi, Jennifer. This is Pat. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pat. Thank you.
I really enjoyed that segment that you and Jody did on making more time. Oh, my gosh. Don't we all need more time?
We do. I always like that day in the year when you get the extra hour. I like to spend it quilting.
Of course. Yes, quilting. My favorite thing, though, is to take stuff with me, because you never know. You keep like a little project in your bag.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You never know when you can squeeze in.
Squeeze in stuff. Yeah, that's really cool. So we're going to talk a little bit about the 1 Million Pillowcase Project and get sort of an update for folks on, you know, where it is. And also, you know, some people haven't heard about it yet.
Absolutely. Well, the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge has been going on now for a little over 2 years, and it's been very exciting for us. I think our counter on our website at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases, the official counter is just hovering right around the 407,000 mark right now. And for those who don't know about it, it's an opportunity to make and donate pillowcases in a local charity of your choice. We don't want people to send the pillowcases to us. We want them to make them and donate them in their local community. And then we just ask that they add them to the official counter on our website. And again, that's at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases. And it's been so awesome, Pat, to hear about all of the places people are donating them.
What kind of places are you hearing? Is there some place like super unusual that you've heard about?
What I think is neat about it is how everybody has something in their community that's really special mm-hmm. or important to them. I was with a group in Nebraska who donated them to a foster children's organization. And in their community, kids who were being moved from home to home didn't have any suitcase or anything to put their clothes mm-hmm. in, and often they were put into a plastic trash bag just to move from mm-hmm. house to house. And so they gave them pillowcases so every kid could use it, not only have something of their own, but have a place where they could put their clothes or the possessions that they had and take them as they got moved in between places. I've also been to shops that were working for National Guard units who had to take their own bedding when they were shipped out, and so they would make red, white, and blue pillowcases for troops to have something from home.
I hadn't heard about that one. That's pretty cool.
Right. So there's just lots of great places. And also, I think nursing homes where people maybe don't have family members or something just to brighten up their day. We all take for granted that we can go home and, you know, put a pretty pillowcase on our bed and go to sleep at night with something nice and clean. Here in Des Moines, we have also, our staff has made pillowcases, and we've donated them to a local shelter. And again, it's just, it's such a simple thing to make, and the we donate them to a men's shelter here, and they were so appreciative to just have a clean pillowcase for every member that they served at this home. And it's just a great way to make a difference with a very, very easy project.
And it's really, really good just to wrap up. I mean, people can do this with their friends in their local shop. It's such a great way to get together, isn't it?
Absolutely. And there are lots of free patterns also for different pillowcases. Mm-hmm. We're always uploading more. There will be some new ones going up in June again, but there are dozens of free patterns, and you can get them all at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases. And we hope everybody will join us in the 1 million pillowcase challenge for American Patchwork and Quilting.
Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on and giving us an update. It's really
thanks,
good.
Pat.
So this is American Patchwork and Quilting. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week for all new set of guests.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.